he's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Most.
6:41 now, and Dr. Kevin Most joins us as he does every Monday. Doctor sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, where you work. The pursuit of better health care starts here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, I just got back from a 1,400-mile road trip, and I'm feeling like I have a hangover, and I don't drink. So does that sound sensible to you, Doctor?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that is pretty stressful, and people, when they drive and they drive long distance, it is very stressful on their body. They don't even realize it.
I blame Indiana.
Like you, with the history.
I blame Indiana, because Indiana's really wide.
And I'm sure you don't let anyone else drive, right?
Actually, I'm only driving an hour.
An hour of the whole 1,400 mm-hmm. miles?
Yeah.
Aren't that big of you?
Yeah. Well, I had to sleep. I was dozing off at the wheel. The other thing is, Doc, I think I have hotel cough. Is this a real thing? Because I slept in like three different hotels, and now I've got this sore throat and a cough.
You can. It's not so much, like kennel cough that dogs get, but...
don't they have shots for that, Doc?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the dirty Dave Savini remote.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's where you got it.
I hadn't thought about that.
Hotel rooms are not clean. I mean, they're not as bad as airlines, but they can't clean the rooms as well as they should.
Do I have mange, possibly? Do I have
mange? Yeah, mange is right up there. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Doc. What's on the agenda this morning?
I wanted to talk a little bit about healthcare costs. You know, we know that the cost of healthcare in the United States is way higher than every other country. And yet, do we get the value out of that cost? And, some people argue no. Our life expectancy is about in the middle of the road when you look at life expectancy around the world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Where do people live the longest?
Oh, gosh. I mean, Japan. I mean, there are countries that do extremely well with life expectancy, and their cost for healthcare is well below ours.
So we're going in the wrong direction.
Well, yeah, we're definitely going in the wrong direction as costs are continuing to go up. You know, it's unsustainable. You can't spend 17% of your gross domestic product on healthcare and continue to sustain that. So definitely we need to make some changes. And, us in the medical field haven't been making the changes as quickly as people want. So now you're starting to see individuals make it with consumerism. You're starting to see insurance companies make it with some of the restrictions that they're doing.
Well, the insurance companies blame you guys, and you guys say the insurance companies could play nicer. So is the truth somewhere in the middle?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the insurance companies are for profit. They need profit. They need to show their shareholders that they're returning on their investment. Hospitals, on the other side, for the vast majority of hospitals, are non-for-profit. Certainly, they make a profit. But they take those profits and they don't pay shareholders. They reinvest that back into the hospital and back into the community. And that's what people don't understand sometimes. They'll look and say, oh, my gosh, Hospital X, you made $40 million last year. No, that $40 million now allows them to go back and buy a new CAT scanner, to buy a new electronic medical record, to keep the place up and running.
Dr. Most, this weekend we saw that the Trump administration took that decision in New Mexico and determined to stop making payments to insurance companies over a very specific part, the risk part of affordable health care and the Obamacare. The question at hand, and I think this plays right into what we're talking about, is that it seems that the federal government, at least this administration, believes that if the government got out of healthcare, if it's on its own and it's just part of capitalism as we know it, will correct itself because the cost will be competitive and we will all get better healthcare because the market drives it. Do you agree with? I mean, is that a sentiment as we start to talk about affordable healthcare? That do you agree with that sentiment?
No, as clear as that. But what Justin's talking about, for those of you who aren't clear, what happened this weekend was we have a program in the Affordable Care Act that's called the Risk Adjustment Program. I'll just give you a simple example to make it hit home. You have two insurance companies that are in the marketplace offering insurance to everyone in your state, we'll say. One ends up having very low-risk patients. One ends up having very high-risk patients. What would happen there is the government would say, okay, we're going to balance these payments a little bit here to make sure that company that took the high-risk patients gets some more money. The one with the low-risk patients, we're going to take some of the money for you because the individuals are paying the same premium. So what happens when that risk adjustment portion goes away, now we have this disruption of, oh, my gosh, the company that took the high-risk patients, I'm going to need to charge more next year. The one that took the low-risk patients said, you know what, if he's going to charge more, I get to charge more as well. So the consumer actually gets hurt in this situation. And the bad thing is the timing of this. Right now, at this time of the year, companies are deciding, am I going to go into the marketplace, and what am I going to set my rates? With this decision right now, you're going to see an increase in rates.
And that's on, but some believe that that's on purpose, that's a way.
Absolutely.
To, yeah, that's the idea. Yep.
Okay, so where's the balance? Where's the balance between deciding who gets tests and who pays for the tests and people dying?
Yeah, and, you know, one other thing before I get to that about the ACA and this decision, we have to realize that a lot of people that are going to the marketplace for their insurance are the very vulnerable people in our population. Those are the people living paycheck to paycheck that now have been told you must have insurance and you must go out and get insurance. So if we increase their rates, then we're going to be a little bit concerned. But to your point, Steve, now the insurance companies are starting to get into saying, you know what, Dr. Most, you wanted this test done on this patient? We don't think that that's right yet. Or we want to look at your records to see what decision-making process you made before you decided to order this test. So we're getting, you know, people have all probably heard of pre-authorization. And what that is the insurance company physicians are looking at our records and saying, okay, yeah, you had a patient with low back pain, you treated them with anti-inflammatories, you treated them with physical therapy, okay, we'll approve that MRI. Versus, you got a patient from the emergency room who had back pain and you want to do a $6,000 MRI now? I don't think so. Let's make sure you do conservative things first, because we know that 90% of people with back pain will get better on conservative measures instead of jumping to this expensive test.
All right, we'll come back with more of this, but Doc, when my mother had rheumatoid arthritis back in the 80s, in the early days of HMOs, I remember thinking, why is the person at the insurance company playing doctor and deciding what tests and care she gets or doesn't get? So we'll pick that up in a second. Back with Dr. Kevin Most. We'll pick up where we left off at the break in a second. Sabrick, say hi to Dr. Most.
Good morning.
Hi, Mayor.
Doc Most sends me videos of his three golden retrievers.
They're good-looking dogs.
They are. Yeah. And they were tearing up a sand trap.
Don't say that too loud.
On a golf course.
Oh, don't say that too loud. It's the kind of thing I'll get the golf police coming to Doc's house this morning.
Cutest things ever. So, Doc, I have a question for you about the insurance. Right now, we always talk about this with our kids, how everyone's being raised to think that they are so special and individual and unique and whatever. For the, as far as insurance goes and how you're treated and the insurance companies kind of dictating a path, for the generally healthy person, is just following the protocol that insurance thinks you should do, is that actually a legitimate way to go about things? Like, for the most of us, I'm not talking about anybody that has other things coming up, but
you're talking about following the guidance.
If we fall in line, we, you know, you said you want me to do this and do this blood test, you know, that all
read
works.
Read their emails.
The average person, does that work? Do I really need all this personal care that I think I need?
You know, it works. The difficult thing is that we live in a society now of I want it now and I need it now. Mm-hmm. And we struggle with that as physicians, because often the person says, well, I hurt my knee. I want an MRI of my knee. And it's hard to argue with them sometimes. You know, you don't want to argue with patients that are now going to go online and say you're a bad doctor or a good doctor. So sometimes the path of least resistance is going to say, okay, let's get that test. When in fact we could say, all right, I don't think you did any major damage to the inside of your knee. Let's put you in a brace right now. Let's put you ice it. Let's put you on anti-inflammatories, and let's see what happens over the next 2 weeks. Let's see if it starts to lock up or any other problems. So conservative medicine is definitely going to have to come back, but as patients have to realize that we're going to accept conservative treatment now instead of jumping to the extreme at points.
Well, but is that, again, I don't want this to come down to fault, but if the ultimate goal here is for the patient to be healthy, I take you back to what I said before the break, is I don't want the insurance company deciding what the diagnosis and the treatment are. I want you to decide that.
Correct. And the insurance company is going to say, I am going to try to limit the cost as much as I possibly can. That's one thing that the insurance companies do. I am going to slow pay the doctors. That's another thing that they do. What they're trying to do is hold on to that money because they need shareholders. And we need insurance. I'm not saying that this is insurance companies are bad. They definitely serve a need that we have in this community. But we certainly should respect the physician. And if you have outlier physicians that go to extremes, okay, let's talk to those guys. But for the mainstream of physicians, let's allow them to make decisions and not someone sitting in an office in New York.
Dr. Most, how do you see that playing out? Talk about white bagging versus brown bagging, this concept that the insurance companies may find different ways to be efficient than they have in the past.
Yeah, there's three things that are really impact that are happening right now that are going to impact how healthcare is delivered in the future and what you're going to expect from your hospitals in the future. And you talk about white bagging and brown bagging. We all know what brown bagging is, right? Hey, boy, I don't want to buy my lunch at work. I am going to bring a brown bag full of food and I am going to eat my food, which is less expensive than me buying that. Same thing happens. Steve, you had your mom with arthritis. Some big arthritis medications, Humira, Remicade, they need an infusion of medication. What happens is that individual comes to the hospital or a doctor's office, and we hook them up, we give them their infusion, and we charge their insurance company for that episode of care, including the cost of the drug, which is usually the highest cost. The hospital has to mark it up some because we're open 24/7, we take care of people without insurance. There's numerous reasons for that. What insurance companies are now saying is, no, time out. We're going to contract straight with the Remicade company. We are going to send you the drug. You do not need to pay for it. You don't need to keep it in your pharmacy. We're going to send you the drug, and Mrs. Jones is going to come in and use it. You charge us for the room and the IV and the nurse time, but we will take care of the drug portion of it. So when that happens, and that's brown bagging, when brown bagging happens, the patient's actually bringing the drug themselves into the hospital. Now, many hospitals are not going to accept that and allow that because we can't take the liability of, did you keep the medication in current right. in the right place? Was it refrigerated? All of that. So that's one that's going to kind of fall aside.
No, that's okay. When you were in medical school, was there a large portion of time spent educating you on how insurance works?
Not at all. Not at all. And there's good things and bad things about that. And even today, when you go to the emergency room, that emergency room doctor should not know what kind of insurance you have. He should be treating you as a patient. He's going to make decisions on your clinical case and your clinical care that you need, not what insurance you have. That being said now, boy, insurance companies are really starting to get into the business, and we really start to need to understand more. Two other examples, Justin, about where we're steering people. Anthem, which is a large Blue Cross consortium, I think I want to say in 12 states, if I'm not mistaken, they've told their patients, if you're having an outpatient CAT scan or MRI, you cannot have it done at a hospital. You must have it done at a freestanding institution. Because their costs are so much lower. Those freestanding ones open specific amount of time, configure their schedules out, can accept certain payers. Where the hospital has to charge a higher cost, we're open 24/7, maintain those machines, have the staffing there, take care of people without insurance. When insurance companies put us in that position, we are going to lose business. It's going to lose some of our profits. We're not going to be able to invest back into the hospital, and everyone's going to get hurt.
Here's the thing, because it does come down to money at the end of this. But we need cruise directors now to tell us which way to go and who to believe. We've never lived in a more skeptical society. So who are we going to believe? How are we going to know whether to go to the clinic or go to the hospital or go to you? It's just a big bowl of confusion.
You're right. I mean, patient navigators are huge when you look at cancer treatment. We have patient navigators that walk you through the entire process and hold your hand, essentially, because you're having a very devastating illness. Unfortunately, that's a business right now that we need. We need some navigators because the patients are like, I don't understand anything. I see my line, I get my check, and there's a line taken out for insurance. I think I have insurance. But they don't understand exactly what they just purchased often.
Well, there's a thing, and again, I'm like you. I'm a fan of insurance companies. Where would we be without them? Having said that, the system is so upside down because you take somebody at their weakest. They're sick. in a lot of cases, they're elderly. And you say, okay, now what I want you to do before you get the treatment you really need to be sick, I want you to pick up the phone and I want you to spend 20 or 30 minutes with someone that you're not going to entirely understand because you're in pain. Or I want you to go online and fill out a bunch of forms to do it. What you're talking about is not only a legitimate business. I don't know how we're going to be able to process anything going forward without it.
Right. People don't need their insurance when they first sign up, right? When you go to do your benefits at the end of the year, you sign up for whichever insurance plan you want to sign up for. You don't even think about it until, oh my gosh, I'm in the emergency department, or I am sick, or something happens. Now I need to understand what my insurance is. So we do need that as a business, and whether it's the insurance company that's going to do it, because it's difficult for the hospitals to do it.
But the onus also has to be on us as a patient. That's on me if I didn't look into what insurance I signed up for.
Yeah, but it's not that easy. Not that easy. When you're sick and in pain and you're supposed to go do the insurance doctor dance, I feel for
people
that have to do it.
Well, that's not when you do it, though. You should be familiar with it.
Oh, okay, but everybody's not you.
No, my wife is...
You're going to work ahead?
My wife is extremely efficient in this stuff, and she probably spends hours on the phone with people trying to figure out what's covered, what's not. I mean, it is a very... And she's meticulous and she's efficient. And a lot of times I see her, you know, banging her head against the wall.
Doc, when we do this again, because obviously we've barely scratched the surface here, we need to talk about the drug side of this because you referenced it on several points. But to get a little deeper in that area and how much drug costs are creating a nightmare here and, you know, what the pharmaceutical companies can do to be better at that. And also what hospital groups are doing as more hospitals merge. Hospitals are taking on and sort of inventing their own insurance companies, right?
Some of them are, absolutely. Some are saying, I'm going to have my own insurance plan. Some are partnering with insurance companies to say, we want a narrow network plan that only includes us. Advocate Healthcare is a perfect example. Great hospitals in Chicago, great institutions. They went to Blue Cross and said, we want to partner with you and make our own Advocate Healthcare plan so that those patients know they can come to Advocate hospitals only. So it's kind of interesting that what you're saying here is, as more and more consolidation, what's going to happen? And I think people just need to understand maybe a little bit more about their insurance. You know, like Mary said, it's very difficult when people sign up for their insurance because they're clicking a box and then I'm really not sure what I just agreed to.
For those of you concerned about what the Trump administration's move on shutting down mandatory payments to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, that'll be court challenged by 9 o'clock this morning, so we'll see what happens there.
Yep.
And, Doc, we will continue. Obviously, it's a big discussion. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Happy Monday.
Thanks, Doc.
You got it, man. Talk to you guys soon.